We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with something seen on the CIA website, read by Vaughan Savage.
The George Bush Center for Intelligence.
Thanks to Bobby Petford for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Linda Smith and Mark Steele. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Maureen Lipman. Linda, you're in the traditional easiest question slot. Why all the kerfuffle about a reshuffle?
The kerfuffle over the reshuffle. It's hardly the rumble in the jungle, is it? This is the whole business over Tony Blair shuffling around some people in his cabinet, getting rid of the Lord Chancellor. According to reports, he destroyed the other bloke. What's his name? Oh, tip of me tongue. I think he was in Midsummer Murders. What's his name? Ian Duncan Smith, that's it. Seems to be a competition between the Labour and Conservative Party to have the progressively crappiest leader. Tories must think, they look at Ian Duncan Smith and they think, John Major, I realise now you are another Disraeli. So, you know, he's meant to have trounced him in this debate, really, saying, oh, so I suppose you want to keep the Lord Chancellor with his girly wig and his ladies' tights and, oh, you're so gay. What's the gist
Tory
of it?
Tory party sat there weeping at that, of course, nodding their yes.
Peter Hain now seems to be doing every job in the world. He's the Welsh Secretary, he's the Leader of the Commons, I think he does a bit of mini-cabbing.
Peter Hain was talking about the war a little while ago, and he actually said these words. I noted them down, because he said, first of all, he said, the war was caused by the French by voting against it. And then, I think these were the words he said when he was asked to justify that. He said, because with the veto, they took the veto, and then, notwithstanding, with upholding what was the veto. And I thought, Prescott must be listening to this, going, at last, someone who speaks my language. This is rubbish. And then the interviewers sort of respond and take it seriously. And I thought, you could put my two-year-old daughter on and make her a cabinet minister. You might as well have her on Newsnight going, Daddy, Daddy, want watch Barney, there's a bus, 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 bus. And then Paxman goes, well, Mr. Cook, what have you got to say to that?
Apparently, the Queen was really annoyed. Well, in fact, livid. She was described as livid over the scrapping of the Lord Chancellor. I don't really know why the scrapping of an antiquated, old, you know, pointless institution should put the wind up her, really, but didn't care for it.
This is the thing. When you get people with those sort of constitutional changes and all the sort of Tories get up and they say, well, what would be a better system? And after all, well, I know we have a written constitution and we have pursuivants and equerries and black rod banging on doors and all these peculiar people in wigs and standing upside down on buckets and dipping the state ferret in a bucket of mercury or whatever they have to do. And then they say, well, what's wrong with the system? And people get into arguments, and it's easy to forget the main argument. It's mental!
Tony Blair was forced to defend his abolition of the post of Lord Chancellor as part of his cabinet reshuffle. He's promised extensive consultation on the changes to the judiciary, the like of which we haven't seen since he took so much notice of everybody else's views on the war against Iraq. Previous Lord Chancellors have included St. Thomas à Becket, St. Swithin and St. Thomas More, though why they were all named after English pubs is anyone's guess. Mark, whose secret speech went down a bomb this week?
Is it the dirty bomb?
This is cracking radio.
Taking my tonsils out myself. It's not Manning and Buller, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Manning and Buller. It's wonderful we have a head of MI6. It's got a name like a bloke. And she's exercised over the fact that Al-Qaeda is fixing to use a weapon of mass destruction on a Western capital, possibly beginning with L, but beyond that her lips are sealed.
Well, it's terrifying, isn't it? I mean, she makes a statement like that, the lovely Eliza. It's such a great Joyce Grenfell name, isn't it? Eliza Manning and Buller. It's just, you know...
I say, aren't you Eliza Manning and Buller? Yes, that's right. Lumpy Latimer. Oh, God.
She did follow it up by talking about this danger of the dirty bomb by saying, but it's worth remembering, you know, before people panic, the most likely thing is an ordinary bomb or suicide bomber. Oh, Words of comfort from you there, Eliza.
It's all made up. I saw a story about how the son of Saddam Hussein learned English off a bloke with a Yorkshire accent.
They called him the Yorkshire Nipper in Baghdad. Saddam.
Sat there going, they'll find out it wear chemical weapons around these parts. But I'm dead worried about father, what with them having to move elsewhere with cruise missile going through the garden. They're all rubbish, these stories. And I love the way that just as all the lies are unravelling about Iraq, and they were obviously nearly all made up, all the stories about the weapons, now they're telling exactly the same ones about Iran. They haven't even got the imagination to make up new ones. Oh, they've got links with Al-Qaeda, and they've got weapons of mass destruction. And they must have a standard letter that goes out to all countries they're going to invade, I suppose.
Dame Elizabeth Manningham Buller, the new head of MI5, has warned that it's only a matter of time before a dirty bomb attack is launched against a western city. Many areas of London are unlikely to be affected. For example, no dirty bomb will be allowed inside Claridge's. You'll have to put on a jacket and tie first. Maureen, who's been bashing the bishop about sex?
Oh, it's dear Dr. John, isn't it? It's the gay bishop who's been outed again by the Daily Telegraph, I say. And he's had to come out and say, yes, I've lived with the same man for 27 years, and I'm very happy, but we don't have sex. It's just a marriage.
Did he say that?
And I couldn't help thinking when I read that. With two gay men in there, that bishop's palace must be a little palace. Lovely cushions everywhere. Imagine the service on a Sunday and we will now sing hymn number 137. I am what I am.
I will survive, I will
survive. It sounds cracking, this church, actually.
Yeah, I'd go.
Bishop of Winchester, who has called on Dr. John to resign because he lives with his gay partner, told the Today programme, we are being painted as a little band of eccentrics, before adjusting his purple skirt and putting on his pointed gold cap. Alan, who's been getting good vibrations in job centres?
This is Anne Summers. Yeah, the woman who runs it, you know this, Jacqueline Goldhurst or something like that. Anyway, this rather feisty woman that runs Anne Summers. I think she's feisty, I mean, could be a bloke in a rubber dress. But she was interviewed on television because she was very upset that they can't get people to come and work in Anne Summers, and it costs them a lot of money to advertise in newspapers because job centres won't let you put up a sign saying, come and work in Anne Summers, everything provided. And now they're going to be allowed to. So people were able to go into their job centre and say, don't really want to work in Anne Summers, it's for a friend.
It's just like working at Quick Fit, they said. There's no difference between buying a vibrator or buying a loaf of bread.
Well, there's nothing quicker than a Quick Fit.
Or perhaps it was Quick Save, they said.
I really don't know. Has any of you, either of you, or four of you, been into... I don't know what they have there. I mean, I'm very innocent about these things.
What, Quick Save?
I think... is there stuff for blokes in Anne Summers?
I don't know why you're looking at me, but...
Well, I think, Alan, that's a question for you and yours.
I don't know how you do it.
I think it's a perfectly reasonable question. It's just that the unusual place to expect to find an answer is on a Radio 4 panel game.
Anne Summers has won a legal battle against the Department of Work and Pensions, which banned it from advertising for employees in job centres. Mr Justice Newman, giving his verdict, said the department's position would not stand up. The Anne Summers Council assured him they could find something for that. We start round two with the sign scene in Tesco's.
Don't forget Father's Day. Save 50p on Old Git Red Wine.
Thanks to Dominic Birch for that. Linda, which master of the free kick has received a royal reward this week?
Ah, well, master of the free kick, that's David Beckham.
It is.
Obviously. And he's going to Madrid. But before that, he's been absolutely fated in Japan, where they adore him like some kind of emperor. And he had one of his girly hairdos, didn't he, with his little teenage mum look that he affects sometimes. Little ponytail effect. But I don't know if it's meant to be some sort of samurai tribute. I don't know. But if, unless there was one of the seven samurais called Big Girl's Blouse, I don't know. But,
he's going to be such a typical Englishman in Spain, isn't he? Going, dos café con leche, por favor. And then Posh will be going, oh, he's ever so clever, he's picked up all the lingo and everything, can he?
I'm just worried about her career, really, moving to...
No, she's gone, it's a worry, isn't it?
He's a wonderful boy, and we're heartbroken in my house, and we would like...
You're all Manchester supporters.
Yeah, by marriage. and we're sorry, and we think Ferguson's behaved appallingly, and, you know, he put the boot in. Literally, didn't he? Although there's a story going around that actually it was a player who kicked the boot into Beckham's eye, and Ferguson took the rap.
Yeah, right.
But it's a shame the lad's going, because he's done nothing but good, in my opinion. Mm. And I think he's clever. I think he's one step ahead of the press. I mean, you might think he's silly, and they do say, what is it that he's got on his shoe? T-G-I-F. Toe goes in first. But nonetheless, he is brilliant, actually. He's a bit Madonna-like. He's one step ahead of the press, one step ahead of the public. He's a thinking boy, that.
Real Madrid persuaded Beckham to sign for £25 million, despite a last-minute offer of five otters, a rosemary bush called Nigel, and a leatherette space hopper from Surreal Madrid. Mark, whose off-road antics resulted in an early warning?
This was the... is he the heir to the throne or whatever he is, first or second in line to the throne?
He's the one that looks like Diana, not the one with the regressive Windsor gene.
Yes, William. He was driving along someone's... some other aristocrat's country, estate of some sort, and the other guy sort of saw... what turned out to be Prince William, went up the wall in that aristocratic way, no doubt. Good God, what on earth are you doing, or whatever. And then it turned out to be none the, other than Prince William.
He cut up the Earl of Bathurst in his Land Rover, and it's a wonderful, this war, but it's amazing. And the kid, having cut him up, his father, the Prince of Wales, rang up and said, I'm his father, and I'm awfully sorry for how badly he's behaved. Can you imagine William going round there and having to, you know... clean the floors for a week or something. Lose his toffee allowance.
Now, since it's to do with having a four-wheel drive car, you just immediately assume you're the superior. In a tall car, you just assume you're right.
If yes, that's true, he'll get himself a bus. Prince William was driving the 159 through Streatham Highway. I think it's William, isn't it, who's got in a state. He said he nearly left university because... his girlfriend dumped him. And I thought, well, when did that... That probably happened when she met his family, I should think. Especially if Philip was round there going, hasn't got much of an arse, has she?
Prince William started the week of his 21st birthday with a post-polo road rage incident at the Earl Bathurst Cirencester Park estate. The Earl was eventually cut off by a member of the Prince's protection squad. It's impossible to repeat what the officer advised the Earl to do, but apparently he had not been asked to do anything similar since his third term at Eton. Maureen, listen to this. Remember when you held me tight. Maureen, what is John Prescott breaking up, and will it be hard to do?
Oh, John, yes. This is a devolution question, and it's very hard for me to answer because I don't know what the hell's going on there. But it would seem that they want to have a referendum about whether there's going to be tranches. Not tranches, you're shaking your head. You're not shaking your head. People are going to vote whether they want to be in smaller governing bodies than they already are, which sort of sets them up for Europe and makes it easier for the politicians, yes?
Yes.
Right. I've got nothing funny to say about that at all. But that's what my MP, John Prescott, Hull,
is trying to do. Do you live still in Hull, Maureen? Warren and I went to the same school, or nearly, didn't we?
Did we, though? Did we?
Yes. On Bricknell Avenue. No,
mine
your
was
friends
an all-girls school, as I know.
I didn't say I was educated there. I said I went there.
In that case, I remember you well.
It's tricky devolution and stuff, because the relationship with the...
Oh, for it. Why should we be governed by Washington?
It's the Welsh bit of it that I find difficult, because I think... strange thing, it's about the history of the British Empire.
I'm going to write to feedback myself now.
Well, it seems to me that the amount of hostility that there is towards England is the opposite to what you'd expect. So Barbados or, you know, Ireland or anywhere where the English Empire, the English went out and did a load of damage, people seem to be incredibly friendly. And then Wales, where it's hard to put an argument that we really did that much damage in Wales as part of the Empire, and they can't stand the English. You go in a bar in the middle of Wales, go on, out. Why? I don't know, don't have to reason, just go on, off. I tell you why, because you've ruined our language, that's what you've done. I do know there's some people in Cardiff now, they don't know the meaning of the word. You know they've got their own Channel 4. They can't have Countdown on there, can they? It wouldn't make sense, would it? I'll have a consonant, please. Another consonant. I'll have three more consonants, nine consonants. I'll have 14 consonants and a consonant. I've got a 19-letter word. It's a type of squirrel. Surely now.
Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott announced plans for devolution in England by promising referendums in three northern regions next year. The new regional assemblies, if they're set up, will be funded by an increase in council tax of around 5 pence a week, or as it's known up north, the minimum wage. Alan, why is there a storm brewing in a teacup?
That's because we're not drinking tea anymore. They are going to extraordinary sub-Starbuck tea bars instead of coffee bars and drinking things with grass and strawberries and bits of newt in them. And traditional tea is dying, and those Tetley's bags are over, along with the accent. And I think something like 5% of the British actually buy cut tea, which isn't in tea bags, which is... I don't know what will happen if we have another Dunkirk. They have to come home and they have to get a raspberry cordial at the... They won't be able to smoke either. Come here, Tommy. Have a Perrier and a rub down with this piece of polenta. I think it's all going downhill. But we don't drink any tea anymore. We have all these fruit teas. And...
It annoys me when people come to your house, you offer them a cup of tea and they say, oh, have you got anything herbal? I usually give them a cup of Radox. Seems to relax them.
Well, the worst one's the blackcurrant one. Blackcurrant tea.
Blackcurrant
in a little fancy square thing, and it's in a little blackcurrant set. Oh, I have blackcurrant tea. It's posh Ribena, you idiot.
No, Mark. No, it's not posh Ribena. What it is, it's hot water poured into a mug that had some Ribena in it once. That's what it tastes like.
There's two of them that are drinkable. One is peppermint and one is lemon and ginger, and the rest is just all nettle and underpants.
Market research has shown Britons are drinking less tea, preferring to sup fruit and herbal infusions. Boy George once said a cup of tea is better than sex, and quite right. Who wouldn't rather have a nice cup of tea than sex with Boy George? Before we start the final round, here's a cutting scene in the Daily Express.
A naked motorcyclist wearing just a scarf, sunglasses and a pair of sandals was stung by a bee on his way to a German nudist colony. Police are considering pressing charges as the unnamed 36-year-old was not wearing a helmet.
Thanks to John Morton of North Shields for that. Linda, listen to this.
The Germans go into your dance.
Linda, who thinks Germans are enjoying themselves too much?
It's the Germans, isn't it? They think they're enjoying themselves too much. They're lazy. Lazy, lazy Germans. They don't want to work. That's the thing with them. They're on a bank holiday that will last 1,000 years. That's the one. Well, this is according to some sort of Reichschancellor or whatever.
Wolfgang.
What's his name?
Wolfgang Clement.
Wolfgang someone. Anyway, in a film, he'd be played by Kurt Jurgens, I think. And he says they're just sort of having too many holidays. Can you have too many holidays? Especially if they're public holidays. They haven't decided to take them. They're there. They're public holidays, aren't they? Seems a bit harsh to me.
He hasn't upset the German towel industry.
Well, they like a trip abroad, though, don't they?
They do.
Eastwood.
I don't like the idea of Germans with leisure time.
The German economic minister, Wolfgang Clement, says Germans spend too much time on holiday and not enough time at work. It's unusual to hear Germans spend so much time away, though millions of them once took a massively extended late summer break to Sudetenland. Mark, why can surgeons look through you even though they're on the train?
Ah, is it X-rays?
Nope.
It's not X-rays. I thought it was X-rays.
Oh, actually, it is X-rays, yes.
Oh, it is X-rays.
Well, up to a point.
Diagnosis by telephone.
It's that they've found
they can send your
gene.
X-ray, right, over the telephone or
yes.
something.
They found a gene for transparent people, but they're only you can only see through them when they're on Connex South Central. Is that it?
More or less.
That's it, yes. Thank you, Professor Steele.
Yes, it's X-rays, I think, having thought about it. X-rays for the that they can send to you on your mobile phone. To when you're on a train.
Yeah.
Alan, when you were a little lad, did you send away for those X-ray specs?
Yes.
Comics. Do they work?
Yes.
I've wondered about that for years.
No, they're amazing. I also sent away for an Ever Ready torch because it kept Alsatians off. Did you ever see that one?
No.
Why? That's how they sold torch batteries. If you had a strong enough torch and an Alsatian came up to you in the dark, you shone it in his eyes.
I'll tell you what, Alan, those were the days when an Alsatian was a scary dog.
How would you could avoid being scared if you had a sea bacoscope, because if you had a sea bacoscope, it was rather like a periscope, but it had a kink in it, and you could see Alsatians on the other side of a wall. As soon as they came round the front, you turned your X-ray spectacles on, and you had a skeleton of Alsatian.
So anyway, that's the end of your reminiscence therapy for this week. You're doing very well.
Doctors claim the use of mobile phone technology has already reduced waiting times for patients who now don't actually have to come into the hospital to be told their operation has been postponed for 2 years. Maureen, who's parking mad.
Yeah, OK, this is the amnesiac. And this hits home, actually. I find this pretty scary. He keeps parking his car and then he can't remember where he's parked it. Does this ring a bell, ladies and gentlemen? Ever been to Brent Cross and just lost it? Great, I've got it, I've got a parking place. In I go to John Lewis, 2 hours later, out I reel. No idea where the car is, absolutely no idea, hours later. And all you got was a mothball. And the poor man's got something like thousands of pounds worth of parking fees, and he says, well, what can I do? I can't remember. It seems odd that he's driving, I have to say. Because I don't know how he remembers how to get there, but this is what it's all about.
Where do you find mothballs these days? The deli
John Lewis, never knowingly under-mothed.
Robert Mottram, a man with amnesia, keeps getting parking tickets because he forgets where he leaves his car. Mr. Mottram from Southport has accrued £1,800 in parking fines. He's made countless attempts to speak to the council about them. Twice a week, he drives around to the council offices, parks, gets out of the car, does a bit of shopping and walks home. Alan, who's got a shock about the croc?
Oh, this is not that crocodile thing. It's a fix from the Daily Mail. They sent out some prat with a shrimping net and a hat with corks on, because a crocodile seems to have been seen somewhere in the home counties. But it's not a real crocodile, nobody's seen it.
They haven't found it because it's in the West Midlands and it's lost with all the flyovers. I'm trying to find my way back to the swamp, but somebody said there's some zebra somewhere, but I've got no idea. I'll turn left at Stetchford Bypass.
Yeah, you can tell it's a hoax because it's alliterative. It's always the crocodile of Crannock. Mm. Or the beast of Bodmin, or the Loch Ness Lobster.
No. The Loch Ness Lobster, that's what they should have devised. I think it would be great. People chasing it round with pans of hot butter.
In Staffordshire's answer to the Loch Ness Monster, the Cannock Crocodile claims by a Mr. Dave Pritchett that he saw a huge pair of gaping jaws with vast, shiny teeth coming towards him, had been put down to the fact that he was being interviewed by Carol Smiley at the time. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
Ah, this is from Hearing Dogs for Deaf People. As you know, we have carefully selected and expertly trained all our hearing dogs to a very high standard. Recipients of hearing dogs are well-behaved, given 6 monthly vet checks, vaccinated, wormed and de-loused regularly.
Mark.
Right, now this is from ananova.com. A Norwegian air ambulance crew almost ignored the smell of an onboard fire because they thought it was the patient's farting. They noticed a cabbage-like smell which turned out to be a blaze near the front window of the aircraft, but the co-pilot eventually managed to bring the plane down where an emergency evacuation took place. Norway, it's true.
Maureen.
This is from Sarah Snell, and it's from the Metro, the Green Room column. Monica Lewinsky is in talks to host a special edition of Have I Got News For You, a BBC source told me. It's a top secret, but we are hoping she will come over. We think she'll go down well with a British audience.
Alan.
It's a pleasing little typo from the Daily Telegraph. It says, while nobody would claim that the government's discomfiture was wholly attributable to Robin Cook, there is no question but that he played a major prat.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Linda and Mark have a wonderful 16 points, but Maureen and Alan have just pipped them with 17. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from the NEC bookings website advertising tickets to its Fireworks Fantasia event.
No guide dogs permitted, except guide dogs.
Back to mine.
Taking part in the news quiz were Linda Smith, Mark Steele, Maureen Lipman and Alan Corran. The chairman was Simon Hoggett, and the news was read by me, Vaughan Savage. The chairman's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield, Dave Cohen and George Poles. And the producer was Simon Nichols.